248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. The Department of Justice has found critical failures in the response to the 2022 Uvalde school shooting. Texas State Senator Roland Gutierrez.
Those cops were cowards and those kids were braver than the cops. About the 20-minute mark, there was a call from Chloe Torres. Chloe said, "We're in here, we're in here. Come get us." And no help came.
The bill to keep the federal government operating is passed in the Senate. Now what?
The bill is passed.
The Senate approved a short-term funding bill that prevents a government shutdown. The measure now moves to the House.
CBS's Natalie Brand. SpaceX hopes to launch a privately funded flight to the International Space Station this afternoon. CBS's Peter King is following.
If all goes as planned, the SpaceX Falcon 9 and Crew Dragon will take Axiom 3 astronauts from Turkey, Italy, and Sweden to the International Space Station for about 2 weeks of experiment.
CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 10% of Wisconsin teenagers tried to commit suicide last year. Teenagers tell surveys they're anxious about social media, school, climate change, guns, and politics. Linda Hall is with the Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health. She says there is a silver lining.
The good news is that kids are talking about mental health. They're not afraid to say that they're anxious. They're not afraid to reach out for help. They're not afraid to support each other.
Hall says more than 300 schools around Wisconsin have student-led mental health programs. Reproductive rights will be the topic when Vice President Kamala Harris visits West Bend on Monday. Her remarks come on the 51st anniversary of the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court ruling that legalized abortion. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Port Edwards Community Game Night is this Saturday from 6 to 7:30 at the United Methodist Church. The game is Family Feud, and the entry fee is $3 per person. Entry is free if you bring a canned good for the local food pantry. The Central Wisconsin Model Railroaders Show is this weekend. It's the 26th annual Arctic Run Model Railroad Show at the Holiday Inn Convention Center Hotel in Stevens Point. The event runs from 9 to 5 on Saturday, January 20th, and 10 to 3 on Sunday. It's only $5 for adults, and kids ages 12 to 17 are $2. Ages 12 and under are free. The City of Wisconsin Rapids will pick up Christmas trees next week, January 22nd through the 26th. Trees need to be free of all decorations, including lights, tinsel, garland, etc. They will be used by the DNR for fish habitat improvement. You'll need to have them on the curb with the trunk facing out by Monday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Is it Saturday night yet? Hey folks, Jimmy Kay here. Join me, Rocker, and Terry Barr for Max Inc. Saturday Night. It's your weekly look at the Wisconsin music scene with a lot of fun, debut music, interviews with the artist, and live in the lair. It's Max Inc. on Saturday night across the Civic Media Radio Network, Saturday night, 6 to 10 p.m., and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
The Bucks get clobbered in Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Just before the game between the Bucks and the Cavaliers, Giannis Antetokounmpo inactive due to a right shoulder contusion. Milwaukee only scoring 2 points in the first 6 minutes, losing to the Cavaliers by 40 points, 135-95. Head coach Adrian Griffin.
We have to learn from this. You have to. You can't continue to make these type of mental errors when the first, especially the start of the game. You know, the start of a game, which is, again, we dug ourselves in a hole, and this time we couldn't get out of it.
Up next, the Bucks play the worst team in basketball, the Pistons, in Detroit, Saturday afternoon. NFL, Mike McCarthy will remain the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. McCarthy has 1 year left on his contract there. The Packers held practice. They faced the 49ers Saturday night. How's defensive back Jair Alexander doing with that sore ankle?
He's doing better. Just getting treatment and hopefully able to go.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Starting off sunny today with clouds increasing. High temperatures climb to the teens and with winds calmer today, it'll actually feel like that. By tonight, we'll see a few flurries flying around with chance of snow through the overnight. And we could be waking up to a trace to a half an inch of snow on the ground tomorrow morning. Currently, it's 10 degrees.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome everyone to Midday Magazine for this January 18th, 2024. Have your host James J. Mailoff here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in Kayla Rombalski, Community Development Educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Right now in studio with us, our good friend Jillian Alekna. I had to ask Jillian for help beforehand. I cheated. But Jillian, it is great to have you here and to talk a little Rome as we have our friends from the Visit Rome Bureau in with us. And a big thank you to all of you out there over there in the at the team. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Jillian is the marketing and events coordinator with Visit Rome. And with that, we get the chance to stretch our legs, talk a little bit about the Rome area and some of the great things going on over there, Jillian. And right out the gate, coming up tomorrow on Friday, we have the Winter's Farmers Market to talk about.
Yeah, so during the summer, we normally have our weekly summer farmers market. We have a winter one that occurs monthly. Tomorrow is the January month, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so from noon to 3 p.m. at Woodland Lutheran Church on 280 14th Avenue in Rome. We will be having the Winter Farmers Market.
Hmm.
Join us for some great baked goods, crafts, and lots of fun. Just should be a good time. You really can't beat a farmer's market.
No. It not only gives us an opportunity to do something this time of year, another thing during the week to kind of get us out of the house and everything, maybe a chance to get some great produce or things like that or unique items that you're not going to find anywhere else, especially at like a department store or anything like that. But this really helps our ag industry, helps our vendors when normally at this time of year, there's not always a lot of opportunities for them. Here's another one, and that's a really great thing. Buy local, support local, and being able to be a part of that always feels good.
Yeah.
That is going on again noon to 3 at the Woodland Luther Church at 2800 14th Avenue. This Saturday, Lake Sherwood has their fishery.
Yep. So
this is a big one.
You can't have Rome without its fisheries.
Yes.
7:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. on Lake Sherwood. Also a DNR free fishing day.
Yes.
This event provides a family-friendly outdoor winter activity, and all money will go toward the Lake Sherwood Property Owners Association Conservation Fund. So keeping that lake looking as pretty as it does.
It's such a beautiful spot of our state, let alone of Wood County here, that area. Keeping that preserved, not only for us, but for future generations, I think is all of our responsibility, not just the Lake Sherwood property owners, but a big shout out to them and the work that they do for many years, keeping that area preserved and doing their best to help with that. And the DNR free fishing day is noteworthy as well. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So even if you don't consider yourself a fisherman or fisherwoman, this is a perfect day to try it out.
Yeah. Get on out there, see what some ice fishing is like, and enjoy. Have some fun. And I, as somebody who's been ice fishing many, many times, I have never had a bad time ice fishing. It's one of those things where even if you're out there, just like regular fishing, at the very least, you're out there and you're hanging out with your friends or something, or maybe you're getting some alone time with nature, whatever the case, it's always a positive.
Yeah.
Again, the Lake Sherwood Fishery going on 7:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. this Saturday. Be sure to check that out, everybody. Is there a registration for this?
Yes. So registration fees are $15 for adults and $5 for kids 12 and under.
Hmm.
And actually, cash payouts will be made for the largest northern, bass, and walleye, and the largest overall fish. Oh. So if you catch a big one, you could get some cold hard cash.
Yeah, yeah. And they've even got something for the kids.
Yeah, they do. Children are competing for trophies for panfish. So your sunfish, bluegill.
Yeah, yeah, very cool. I think the first 20 fish I caught were bluegills. All bluegills.
Like, that's normally what I catch anyway.
Yeah, just seems to be the way. Is there a contact number if people want additional information or to register for us?
Yeah, you'd want to reach out to the Lake Sherwood Property Owners Association at 715-325-4066.
I think, Jillian, we've talked about this before. My mom worked at a library for many, many years, and one of her favorite parts of it was the children's story times. And we have this feature over at Lester Library.
Yeah, their children's story time running 10:30 to 11 occurs weekly, open to kids of all ages. Each interactive story time will feature a different set of books read by library staff and community members.
It's so cool. A big shout out and thank you to the Lester Library staff for doing this, for bringing this great thing to the library and then reading themselves. And thanks to the United Way, with so much of the data that they've given us, we know how much this benefits kids. Hearing adults read from an early age makes them not only more engaged with reading, want to read more, but it helps them in the business world, in every field. There's no field where it's not beneficial to children.
Exactly.
And it's fun. It is so much fun reading to kids. It is a blast. And it's not just a blast for the people reading, but the people going there, the parents to bring their kids. It's a fun thing. And another one of those great events that gets us out of the house a little bit and maybe gets a chance to stretch your legs and have some fun and do something.
Yeah.
And this is every Wednesday this goes on?
Yes, every Wednesday.
Excellent.
And if you are interested in whatever else the Lester Public Library puts on, we encourage you to visit their website. They have a big calendar filled with lots of events. If I tried to cover them all, we would probably be here for way longer than this segment takes. So encourage you to visit that.
Yeah, it's a great library. It's one we don't get to talk about nearly enough. Encourage you to go ahead and check it out, everybody. As Jillian said, got a great website, and you can find out more at that. And a great Facebook page as well. It's another great way to keep up. Go ahead and check a look at their Facebook page. If you go to NakusaLibrary.com, you'll be able to find all the information Jillian was talking about there. NakusaLibrary.com. Trivia at Lake Arrowhead coming up.
Yeah, join us for the return of Trivia Nights from 4 to 5 p.m. We're bringing back this event and doubling the number of dates this year.
Ooh.
Team registration begins 30 minutes before the start of the event. It's $20 per team. A team can be 2 to 8 players. And there will be 6 rounds with 10 questions each. And the following dates are the trivia dates.
Hmm.
So Saturday, January 27th, Saturday, February 24th. All of these are Saturdays, I think. March 9th, March 23rd, April 6th, and April 20th. And in the meantime, visit Lake Arrowhead's events page for more info, rules, regulations. If I somehow missed a date, you can correct me then.
Yeah. Anything going on over at Lake Arrowhead always gets our attention. We love that spot, love the people over there. And bringing the trivia back multiple nights, it's because it's had a good response. A lot of people have been enjoying it. So, that's a good reason to go check it out yourselves if you haven't done so already.
Yeah.
It's another one of those things where it gets us out of the house, gives us something to do, and you can win things and have some fun with it and everything. That's a cool idea. Is there a price for this for teams and how many rounds and stuff? Any other details?
It is $20 per team.
Okay.
And your team can be anywhere from 2 players to 8 players.
Okay.
And there will most likely be 60 questions, so 6 rounds, 10 questions each.
Nice. And I like that they tell you that. It kind of gives you an idea of, well, I want to get out, but I want to know how long am I going to be doing this? How long am I going to be out and about? Kind of gives you a little bit more of an insight into that.
Yeah.
Find out more at Lake Arrowhead's events page. Just go there and find out more for yourself. And a big shout out to our friends at Lake Arrowhead. the third annual Sand County Classic at Sand Valley coming up. We're already up to the third annual of this?
Yeah.
Wow, is that something? I feel like it just started. That's mm-hmm. so cool. Tell us about this, Jillian.
Yeah, so Sand Valley, together with Visit Rome, we're celebrating the thrill of pond hockey on one of three frozen lakes at Sand Valley. I'm not sure if... So running from 9 o'clock a.m. Friday, February 2nd,
yeah,
through 10 o'clock a.m. Sunday, February 4th, this event is open to all. The tournament is on one of three frozen lakes at Sand Valley.
Oh.
We encourage you, even if you're not competing, to just go out there, enjoy, spectate.
Mm-hmm.
We're welcome to seeing any spectators there. It's just cool to watch these guys because you have a lot of former high school players, mm-hmm. college. I don't know the exact yeah. classification, but
no, you're right.
They're good. They're mm-hmm. When they go around on the ice, they're not going to slip and fall, hopefully.
growing up in a hockey family with a hockey father, I have such a love and appreciation for hockey players of all forms, retired, pro, semi-pro, any of the above. It's such a, I believe it's the hardest sport in the world to play. I truly believe that. And it's nothing against any other sport.
Yeah.
I just think that what it takes, you name any other sport to me and all the different things that it takes, okay, but they do all those things on 3 inches of steel,
mm-hmm.
you know, on ice. It's incredible to me to watch athletes like this go around. And then in a situation like this, I feel like you get a real chance to see the actual artistry of it, of the game at
yeah.
a level like this.
Exactly. So it's not in a rink. It's out in the countryside, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Which I gotta admit that it hits a little close to home for me. I learned to skate on a pond in behind our high rises in Chicago, on a lake.
Mm-hmm.
That was not easy to learn to skate on. It was very uneven and all that, but it was a lot of fun. And if you've never seen anything like this take place, boy, that alone is worth coming down and checking out. And never forget that Sand Valley is a four-season destination right here in central Wisconsin. So no matter what time of year, there's not a bad time to go check out Sand Valley.
Exactly.
This going on, do we need to register for this or anything, or just show up?
Just show up to spectate. Registration is more if you want to play.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm not entirely sure if that's still open.
Yeah, it does seem like that's covered already.
Okay.
Yeah. But you could probably, if you were curious about playing maybe or being involved, we'll show up and maybe you'll find somebody to talk to and find out more information.
Yeah.
February 3rd is also going to be the Mark Simons Memorial Fishery and Raffle. Did I say his last name right?
I believe so.
Okay.
That's how I would say it.
This is an important one. I want to make sure to get Mark's name right. So
yeah.
Thank you, Joe.
Running from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., come join us for the second annual Joseph J. White American Legion Post 442 Memorial Fishery and Raffle, mm-hmm. also known Mark Simons.
Yeah, yeah.
From cash prizes for the largest fish caught, a 50-50 cash raffle, meat raffle, and basket raffle, this fishery on Camelot has a lot of fun packed into one day. Registration is $15 per person and free for kids under 15.
As you hit on earlier, we love our fisheries. We love events like this. We know very well, you and I both, how much this area loves raffles.
Mm-hmm.
You combine these worlds. That's fantastic. Anything that is a memorial always gets our attention. And whether even if we don't know Mark or we don't know, you know, much about him or anything, I think that to many people out there, they hear something that has a name attached to it or memorial, and immediately they're engaged and
yeah.
they care. And then you add on the fishery and the raffle part of it, you've really got people engaged.
Yeah.
Really people going in on it. A shout out to the Joseph J. White American Legion Post 442 and the good work that they do over there. Appreciate them. This is a really fun event, and it's affordable too for people with the registration fee. If people do want to register, is there somewhere to direct them? Is there somewhere to send them for that?
The Owners Association.
Hmm.
I don't have their info off the top of my head.
Yeah,
but I'm sure if you just look it up or find them on Facebook, you're in the right spot.
Yeah, and it's never a bad idea to throw these things into your search engine or looking on Facebook. Almost everybody has a Facebook page nowadays, mm-hmm. and that is where you're going to find most of the information that you're looking for. So go ahead and check that out. And it's a good note that if you haven't already liked their Facebook page, be sure to go do that. Check that out and find out more about the Mark Simons Memorial Fishery and Raffle going on Saturday, February 3rd from 7 to 3. Man, I can't believe we're already into February with this. I just caught that. I didn't realize that right away.
Yeah, it's wild.
It is. We've got another great event going on that Saturday, February 3rd, the Pinery Road Snowshoeing at the Historic Point Boss.
Yep, running 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Come join us for a fun and snowshoeing at Historic Point Boss. The schoolhouse will be open as a warming house, and hot apple cider will be served so you won't freeze. Mm-hmm. Also, there will be a bonfire in the upper parking lot with marshmallows for roasting. Snowshoes are available for rental or bring your own and enjoy about a 3.5 mile of natural ungroomed trails. Mm-hmm. If you do want to rent those snowshoes and poles, that is $7. Mm. Admission is $3. So at most, it's going to cost you $10.
Yeah.
No sweat.
Yeah, no sweat. And especially, you might get a good sweat doing the snowshoeing.
Well, yeah.
You might get a good workout, but it's no sweat otherwise. I have no journalistic integrity with the Historic Point Boss. I love that place. I love the people over there. Shout out to Mike and the gang and everybody that keeps history alive and moving over there. I always like to note as well that our friends over at the Historic Point Boss are always looking for volunteers and always looking for people to help keep history alive over there. And I gotta tell you, Jillian, I've been thinking a lot about this lately. I don't know where it came from, but the idea of snowshoeing sounds really fun to me.
Yeah.
Now, I have size like 12 shoes, so I don't even know if I need to rent shoes, but I probably will just to play it safe.
Just get a tennis racket.
There you go. Yeah. it seems like a lot of fun. It also seems like wonderful exercise.
Mm-hmm.
I love exercising out in nature in the spring and summer. I find it a lot of fun, and I don't have a crazy exercise or anything. I like to jog. I like maybe go for a walk or something.
Yeah.
And over here at the Fireman's Memorial is usually where I start here in mm-hmm. town and kind of check, walk by the river. Over at the Historic Point Boss, there's not a bad spot. That whole area is beautiful. So getting to take a hike over there, doing some snowshoeing, boy, that sounds like a really fun, great time, great way to enjoy nature. 3.5 miles of nature, ungroomed trails is just music to people's ears out there.
Yeah.
And that $10 that Jillian was talking about, if you need to rent the snowshoes and pole, the $3 admission, of course, that is not only affordable, and they make sure, and I commend them so much for this at the Historic Point Boss. With inflation, with so many things that go on, I think they're the only place not affected by that. They want it to be affordable for families.
Yeah.
They want people to be able to take it in. And with that, every penny you spend with them, you know that you're putting back into the Historic Point Boss, you're putting into the community, and you're helping keep history alive. It's a complete win-win when you're doing something like that. You can find out more at historicpointboss.com, historicpointboss.com. Encourage you to check this event out. It's going to be a lot of fun. The Pinery Road Snowshoeing at Historic Point Boss, 11 to 4, going on Saturday, February 3rd. We'll have Mike and the gang in pretty soon to be able to talk more about that.
Yep.
That coming up Friday, February 9th through Sunday, February 11th, Snow Blast at Lake Arrowhead.
Yes. It's back. It starts 4 p.m. Friday and runs through 8 p.m. on Sunday. Whether it's live music, raffles, auctions, games, taste testing, or anything in between, this weekend of fun at Lake Arrowhead is sure to please anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little shameless plug.
Mm-hmm.
Visit Rome, Wisconsin is sponsoring the Dueling Pianos performance.
Nice.
On that Friday night. You can reserve your tickets now at the Lake Arrowhead Association office or contact events coordinator Lucky at 715-325-2915.
Shout out to you guys for sponsoring the Dueling Pianos. We love that. It's an awesome event. That's very cool. And we love this event so much. The live music, the raffles, the auction games, all these things going on. We have Lake Arrowhead's backdrop that is so beautiful. It's a living, breathing screensaver whole entire everywhere around there. So
yeah,
great.
It is.
And it's a fun event. And one more time, it is another opportunity for us to get out of the house to do something. We live in shacks this time of year. We You know, we're just going from one shack to the other. We may call it a home or a job or whatever, but it's a shack. We're just going from one to the other. The opportunity to have more and more for things for families to do. This is a fun family event. It's got a little bit of everything to it.
Yeah. And if you are interested in what's happening at what time, I would suggest visiting the Lake Arrowhead website or look at our website, visitromewi.com.
Yeah, both are fantastic websites.
And there will be a full list of hopefully what's up to date for events. Mm-hmm. I know puppy yoga was on there for either Saturday or Sunday.
Okay. I do need to know more about puppy yoga.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look into that. I'm going to have to reach out to our friends over there and find out more about that. But be sure to check out their website. And you can find these things out, throwing them into your search bar. And just you're just one click away from finding the websites and finding out more about it. Sunday, February 11th, Valentine's-themed cookie class at Lake Arrowhead. This seems like a lot of fun.
Yes. So Kelly Lawler from Blue House Cakery is back again with her cookie classes. Always wanted to decorate cookies like a pro. Now is your chance to impress all your friends and family with the most adorable set of Valentine's cookies you have ever seen. Kelly will take you through the basics of cookie decorating. Included with class purchase is a complimentary drink, so it doesn't matter how good or bad the cookies look at the end.
There you go, yeah.
Each student will be provided with everything they need to decorate, as well as a box to take your cookies home in. No previous experience is necessary.
Oh, and they'll have aprons and short sleeve shirts are recommended, so that's nice to note. These kind of things are so much fun. I've always like admired baking and wanted to be able to be better at baking. I can cook okay. I am not good at baking, and I love cookies and baked goods and stuff. So I would really like to learn more about it. For families with kids, this is a really fun event. I would encourage others, too, like myself, that are just interested in learning more and more about baking and other opportunities to get good at it, to be better at it. Like anything else, the more reps you do, the more you do something, the better you'll get at it. So, being able to do something like that would be fun. Each student being provided with everything they need, so you've got that as well. You don't have to worry about that part of it. It's a pretty fun event. Valentine's-themed cookie class at Lake Arrowhead from 10 to 2. You can find out more at their website, lakearrowheadgolf.com, lakearrowheadgolf.com, and other websites that we mentioned today as far as the Charles and Joanne Lester Library in Nakusa. That is nakusalibrary.com, nakusalibrary.com, and the Historic Point Boss, historicpointboss.com. Be sure to check out all those websites. Be sure to bookmark them. They're all beneficial and all fun, great things going on. Jillian is wrapping up with our last couple of minutes here. I want to remind people about Hoozle's Trivia every Wednesday from 7 to 8:30. That's fun. Be sure to check that out. I know you've done that a little bit, right? It's fun.
It is.
Be sure to check it out, everybody. Lucas does an amazing job.
He does.
And they have such a good time. And we love our friends over at Hoozle's. Shout out to them. And if that ain't enough for you, Hoozle's also has bingo every other Friday from 8:30 to 10.
Yep.
Find out more and reach out to our friends over at Hoozle's and enjoy yourself over there. A big shout out to them. Jillian, all the great things we've talked about here, but I also want to add on a reminder to people out there that we're always looking for help, maybe volunteers or different things over at the at Visit Rome. So you can help be a volunteer, or you can help spread the word about these events just by listening to this segment or going to the website, visitromewi.com, and spreading the word.
Yeah.
I think all of us have heard somebody say at some point in this area, oh, there's nothing to do. And it frustrates the daylights out of me. The next time somebody says that to you and everything, go ahead, just look at them and say, visitromewi.com. Go ahead and check out the website. Look at the events page. There's plenty to do.
Exactly.
Jillian, if people have follow-up questions and they want to know more and ask you, you should just send them to the website?
Yep, send them to the website, or you can call us at 715-325-3090.
Do us a favor. Say hi to Lisa for us.
Appreciate it.
And you take care, and we'll talk again real soon.
Yeah. See you soon.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Nakusa Port Edward State Bank is your locally owned, full-service community bank in Nakusa, Port Edwards, and the town of Rome. Since 1913, they've been helping area communities, businesses, and individuals with their financial needs, and are happy to sponsor these What's Happening in Rome live discussions. Hope you enjoy the updates. Everyone at Nakusa Port Edward State Bank is proud to be part of these exciting developments in the town of Rome. Remember, when in Rome, bank at Nakusa Port Edward State Bank. Member Equal Housing Lender, FDIC Insured.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More people than ever have a job in Wisconsin. State officials are out with their final numbers for December. The Department of Workforce Development says Wisconsin added more than 2,200 jobs in December. The jobless rate is a near record low, 3.3%. Cursive writing could be required to be taught in Wisconsin schools under a bill in the state legislature. The author is Representative Paul Melodic. He says knowing how to write longhand is a benefit to kids.
There's a thought that this is not, it's old-fashioned, it's not something that's needed because nobody writes anymore, you know. So I understand the logic of that, but I don't agree. I think there's beneficial to cursive.
The bill got a hearing in the Assembly Education Committee yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. After the hustle and bustle of the holidays, some people may be feeling depressed. Brittany Merlot has more.
A social worker with Aspirisk says the buildup of the holidays and it ending abruptly can cause feelings of loneliness. But sticking to a routine can help alleviate that. You could also boost your mood by focusing on self-care, planning your next vacation, or connecting with others. And if you or someone you know needs help, use the 988 Crisis Line. It's a free resource for anyone who needs to call, text, or chat 24/7.
The United Way of Southwood in Adams Counties is looking for volunteers to help with the Point of Time or Pit Count to help gather a snapshot of homelessness in our area. Volunteers will canvass Southwood County to take a count and offer resources as available. It begins at 11 p.m. on Wednesday, January 24th and ends in the early hours of Thursday. You can contact Ben Eberlein at 715-421-0390. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel. Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy.
Bria Krieger joining us, a local artist.
To welcome to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest Zone, Mary Jo Pete.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on locally grown radio.
The Bucks get clobbered in Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Just before the game between the Bucks and the Cavaliers, Giannis Antetokounmpo inactive due to a right shoulder contusion. Milwaukee only scoring 2 points in the first 6 minutes, losing to the Cavaliers by 40 points, 135-95. Head coach Adrian Griffin:
we have to learn from this. You have to. You can't continue to make these type of mental errors when the first, especially the start of the game. you know, to start every game, which is, again, we dug ourselves in a hole, and this time we couldn't get out of it.
Up next, the Bucks play the worst team in basketball, the Pistons, in Detroit, Saturday afternoon. NFL, Mike McCarthy will remain the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. McCarthy has 1 year left on his contract there. The Packers held practice. They faced the 49ers Saturday night. How's defensive back Jair Alexander doing with that sore ankle?
He's doing better. Just getting treatment and hopefully able to go.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Starting off sunny today with clouds increasing. High temperatures climb to the teens, and with winds calmer today, it'll actually feel like that. By tonight, we'll see a few flurries flying around with chance of snow through the overnight. And we could be waking up to a trace to a half an inch of snow on the ground tomorrow morning. 8 degrees at our studios.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different. But we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this January 18th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And we're welcoming in on the phone our good friend, Kayla Rombalski, Community Development Educator with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Kayla, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, James. How are you?
I'm doing well. How have you been?
I'm good.
Good.
I've been a little cold, but I have to, you know, tell myself that we were pretty spoiled earlier on in this winter season, and so now this is what we get, right?
Yep.
I tell my kids sometimes you get what you get, and you don't pitch a fit.
Exactly.
So,
we know this is only going to make our spring that much more greener and everything, so we've got good things on the way, and we've got good things to talk about today, Kayla. We're going to talk grant writing today.
We sure are. Yeah, it's an important topic, and you know, in the work that I do and in the work that my extension colleagues do, as well as local nonprofits and different groups that we serve, you know, they're all doing important work, but they need money to get it done. And so often that comes from writing grants, from fundraising, and those types of things. So we've got some, I and my colleagues have a helpful resource for folks who are looking at writing grants.
Yeah, you guys have a grant writing workshop coming up.
We do, yeah. So there are 2 days. You can do it both in the evening if you would prefer that. So for folks that are maybe serving on a nonprofit board and involved in some of the grant writing efforts for that nonprofit, or just, you know, really busy during the day and want to take some time in the evening to dedicate to it, we're offering that option, and then also a during the day option for folks that works better for. So the dates of this grant writing workshop, both are virtual. You can do it from the comfort of your, you know, living room in your pajamas if you need to. The dates are Monday, February 26th from 6 to 8 p.m. and that following Wednesday, February 28th from 9 to 11 a.m.
Kayla, if you don't mind, let's kind of get into the outline of this, not only the workshop, but details of grant writing itself. I think this is going to be really informative for people, whether you work for a nonprofit or a business, whether you're ever going to write a grant or not. Chances are you are affected by grant writing. You are affected by these things. Almost everybody has a connection to a nonprofit or a charity or something. And oftentimes, as you touched on, they get their funding from grant writing. Understanding a little bit more of the behind the curtain is, I think, very important to people nowadays. Most people want to know how the sausage is made now. They want to know the inside details. I think this is a really interesting chance to get some insight into that. When it comes to grant writing and you first approach this topic, what was one of the first things that you learned about it?
Oh, that's a great question. So I think what I love about grant writing and the topic of grant writing is the skills that you use in writing a good grant or program proposal are really translatable into writing all sorts of things, right? So essentially you're convincing a group of funders to pick your project, to support you with a financial contribution to whatever cause, whatever program that you're working on that you're passionate about. But that skill translates to, you know, resumes and cover letters. Same kind of thing. You're maybe not asking for money. I mean, you are, essentially, if you're asking for a salary, but you're asking for someone to pick you over all the other applicants that have come in for that job. So it really is, I think grant writing is a skill that can be practiced over time, just the same way writing is, mm-hmm. But it's a skill that's translatable to many different things, not just doing grant writing.
When I first started working with Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, more behind the scenes and not just on stage, this was one of the first things I learned about, was so much of the funding coming from grant writing. And I never realized, to me, okay, you want a grant, we'll apply for it. End of story. I didn't realize that it involves so much more than that.
Right. It does. There are definitely some nuances involved in writing for grants and in knowing how to write a really strong and clear grant application. And that is what this training is all about. So it's going to take folks through Grants 101, starting from what is a grant? Like, when we say grants, what are we talking about? When we say, applying for funding, what are we talking about? Through the common grant application and what to complete, what are some helpful hints in completing that, and then all the way through to actually picking out and looking for funders. So that can be a hard part of it too, right? Maybe you have a program that you're excited about, but you don't know who would be a good fit. There are tons of foundations and private entities that give out funds each year. You need to be able to track those down to find who would fit your project and who could be just as passionate about your project as you are.
Yeah, Kayla, this was one of my first questions that I had, was, do you guys help people finding those grantors, those people that you would be sending this to? Because I think that's the other part of this that is a little bit of a mystery for people, is who is funding these projects? Where are these grants being sent to?
Right, we do. That's part of the curriculum for this two-hour class. We start with looking at how to research funders, where to find that information, and you'll see that there are a number of services. Like, if you start to look for grant writing and do some of your own research, you can find a number of services that you can pay for that will give you access to different directories and lists to be able to seek funders. But there are also a number of things that you don't actually need to pay for. There's a list that we have as part of this class, again, free of charge, the classes, I don't think I've said that yet, that you'll be able to review. So a resource list full of resources on different foundations and what they fund, what they're interested in, both locally and then also at a state and a federal level as well across the United States.
Kayla, this workshop also seems like it would be beneficial even if you were, and I'm not sure the proper wording for this, but a grantor, if you were somebody who was on the other side of this, it feels like it may even be beneficial for you as well.
Yes, definitely. So gives you, you know, some insight into what the folks that are coming to you seeking funds are doing in preparation, and maybe if you're looking to revamp your granting process. So, for example, just to put this into perspective, the county has an economic development grant process, and we are actually with the SEED committee. So SEED is a county board level committee, and it stands for Conservation, Education, and Economic Development. And that committee is looking at redoing or revamping their grants process. And so we actually, when we were looking at the application form, we looked at some of the questions that are asked in what's called the common grant application form. So this is something that in the state of Wisconsin, many funders have gotten together to put together a common grant application. And so it is a list of the questions that most grants ask for and kind of outlines what you should be prepared to do. And the great thing about that common grant application is that if there is a funder that's using that, you don't have to recreate the wheel each time you're writing a grant application. You kind of know what to expect then and can have that, you know, canned and ready to go. So it's great for everyone, you know, interested in granting and the process of seeking funds through grants, whether that is the grantor or the, you know, the applicant, the project or program that's applying for funds.
Yeah, it's noteworthy, I think, too, because when it comes to not only the granting and all that and who is granting it, but that the idea that there is the resource there. I think so many people, there are so many things that started grassroots. It started from the bottom and people thinking, well, I don't know how to get this off the ground or how I would make this happen. And it was a grant that helped them make it happen. It was a grant that started the whole thing. I think that's a noteworthy part of this process.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, it all comes down to writing skills, as I mentioned earlier. So it's about telling the story and making that funder as passionate about the project that you're working on as you are, and and making it so that they can't say no, right? They just have to, if you craft the story right, if you tell a compelling argument, they have to say yes, they want to join in on your project. And sometimes grants are not the best opportunity for funds as well. So in this class, we kind of cover when to look for a grant and when maybe a different option is better than seeking out a grant.
And those kind of situations can be tough for a person, especially if you're very close to the situation, to be able to tell sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah. There's definitely some nuance there in terms of, you know, crafting the right application and knowing how your project fits.
And Kayla, especially with what going back to what you were saying about sort of an outline of this, are most grantors are they used to kind of getting this certain specific outline with these bullet points to it, similar to when you're first learning how to fill out make a resume, and you buy an outline, you get an outline, a free outline of how to, you know, do this and insert your own information into that resume. Is it sort of like
definitely
that?
Definitely. Yeah. Yep, it's sort of like that. So there are a couple of key pieces within all grants. So you're most likely going to have to submit your organization information and background, a project program description, a statement on how that's going to be evaluated, and then a statement on your budget or on other funding that you might have coming in for this project. You'll also, of course, have to go into some information about who you're going to serve and the specifics of the grant itself. And then usually you will have a cover letter with that, as well as, you know, submitting the grant narrative, which is actually just the story of what you're telling, and then the budget on top of that. So So we'll go through all of that within this curriculum for this grant writing workshop, and also talk about, you know, okay, here's the basics. So anyone, just like when you're writing a resume, right? Maybe you've never done it before and you're crafting your first resume. Mm-hmm. You can go on Google, you can search and find these common, you know, resume templates and kind of come up with the basics on your own. But if you talk to perhaps someone who's in HR or someone who is seeing a lot of those resumes, a hiring manager, they could probably give you some inside scoop as to, you know, here's how you differentiate yourself. Here's how you make this resume stronger. And the same is true for grant writing. So as you're looking to craft that first grant application, you know, this course really can help you learn sort of what will set your what will set your grant apart, and then also what are the common mistakes people make. And the mistakes are everything from, you know, just not following instruction to you know, maybe not being transparent, not being clear. And so we'll kind of go through each of those details in the workshop.
We're speaking with Kayla Rombalski, Community Development Educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Kayla, we're talking about I'm talking about this with you and approaching this in many ways as kind of from a nonprofit perspective. But if I'm a business, or if I can be completely honest with you and the audience, like I always try to journalistically be, I have a Simpsons one-man show that I've been working on for years, where I do every voice of every Simpsons character, and I do them badly, but and I don't see this happening, but I'm going to keep trying. If I wanted to try to get that off the ground, I'm not being serious. It's just a weird example. Could that be something that I go and seek out a grant for?
Yes and no. So it would depend.
You gave know, you a tough one, Kayla. Gave you a tough
right. one. Right. That's always the answer to things, right? Yes, but, or yes and no. It's always a gray area. Hmm. So your Simpsons one-man show, we're going to run with this example because I think it's great. If you were to find the right funder, I don't know that it would be called a grant in the formal, you know, in the formal process in terms of grants. But I bet that there is probably a funder out there who is looking to fund new performance art. They're looking to find the latest and greatest new musical, you know, the Hamilton, the very next Hamilton.
Yeah, yeah.
you know, they're looking for that. And so most likely, I don't know that it would be a formal grant process, but they're probably taking auditions or reading manuscripts the same way that a granting team, a review team, would look at a proposal that you've submitted. So the skills are the same. Now, whether you can go to, let's say, the Walmart Foundation you know, pitch them your Simpsons one-man show, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But that is an important piece of this process, right, is that each funder is going to have different qualifications in terms of what they're looking for. So earlier I mentioned that economic development grant, well, the county is looking for funds that fit within economic development. They're not looking for arts or culture. So your one-man show wouldn't be a good fit for that grant.
Mm-hmm.
Or, for example, I think, like, just taking a large foundation, Johnson & Johnson, for example, you know, maker of all sorts of toiletry products and healthcare products. Their contributions to charitable entities most likely are going to be related specifically to things like healthcare, like, you know, maybe dental care, those types of things. So they're looking for projects that fit within that scope for their granting abilities. So it's this, you know, it really is kind of like a courting process, right? Or a dating process. You want to find the right fit for your program. But that's not to, so that was a long answer to say that I'm sure that there is a funder out there who is interested in your one-man show. But in order to find that funder, in order to woo, I'm going to use that dating example again, in order to woo that funder, you have to tell a compelling story, and you have to really put your best foot forward. And those principles are the same in grant writing as they are in even crafting, like if you were to craft a GoFundMe or one of those online funding projects. You would do the same thing with that.
I appreciate you're such a good teammate. I appreciate you running through that with me. I did bring it up in seriousness because I think that sometimes it may be it's interesting for people in that position to, is this something that would be attractive to a nonprofit and benefit that in our community, or is this something more of on a business end of things and that, and understanding the difference of those two, and is there as we touch on nonprofits and everything, is there are grants available for other side projects or businesses or things? If you're a nonprofit and you're looking at grant writing, is that something that is an opportunity?
So again, it all depends on what your topic is what the funder is. I would say, as it crosses into entrepreneurship, if you were looking to take that one-man show and turn it more into a business model, maybe you're going to have multiple, and I'm just rolling with this. But maybe you're going to have multiple performers, and so you're going to turn it into your own stage company or something like that. Mm-hmm. Well, then you might want to seek out an angel investor or a private donor that gives funding to businesses and to entrepreneurs, and those are out there too, but it's a little bit of a different ask. It's a different type of request.
Yeah.
But again, comes back to that compelling story and that ability to concisely and effectively communicate your need and why they should pick you.
And it really sounds like that taking this workshop, no matter what end of this you're coming from, it can be very beneficial, even if it is from that perspective.
Exactly. Hmm. Yeah. And I want to give, in the time that we have left, just one more example, because this is something that was actually requested by a community member in Wood County. I had a town clerk call me a few years ago and express interest in a grant writing workshop. And at that time, I wasn't able to provide that just within the scope of work that I had. But now with my colleagues, so this is actually something that we're working on. I'm working on with colleagues across the state and with them and sharing our knowledge and then also being able to offer this virtually. We do have the ability for local government entities, whether that's town clerks, different people to participate. And then hopefully, so there has been talk, this workshop, 2 hours, is enough really to just scratch the surface, to go over the basics and bring everyone to the same knowledge. When it comes to grant writing, there is a lot of interest in a 201. So this is a grant writing 101. 201 might look at what happens after you've been selected. Mm. So their grants often have some pieces required for reporting out, for being transparent in terms of how you're spending that funding and reporting that back to the funder. What happens if you're not selected? How to deal with the rejection of not being selected for the grant? Those types of things would come in a 201 class. And while we don't have an offering for that yet, we are working on it behind the scenes. So more
very cool. Good to hear. Oh, a little bit of a interesting insight there, too, in behind the scenes notes there. Kayla, is this an event that people need to register for?
Yes, registration is required. You can find that on our extension website. There's a one link for everyone in the state, but you can get to it by going to Extension Wood County. If you just Google that, it'll come up. Mm-hmm. And then you can also always contact me, and I'd be happy to get you registered as well.
Yeah, and you can find Kayla and all of our friends at Extension. I'm actually looking at a wonderful picture of Kayla and Anna James, who we just talked to, I think, a couple weeks ago. You can find it at wood.extension.wisc.edu, wood.extension.wisc.edu. You can also just type into your search bar with Wood County Extension or UW-Madison Extension, and you'll be able to find it. I've tried a couple of examples, and your website pops up first every time.
Oh, good.
We appreciate the time so much, Kayla. It's always a fun time talking with you. Don't be a stranger. We'll see you real soon, okay?
That sounds great. See you soon.
You take care.
You too. Thanks.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow, and we'll wrap it up for the week, actually. We'll have, in part one, State Senator Patrick Teston joining us. Looking forward to talking with Senator Teston. And in part two, we'll talk with our friend Stephanie Hartman, Executive Director at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. That'll be in tomorrow's Midday Magazine right here at WFHR. We are Locally Grown Radio.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. The House